The Bible tells us that we can cast our cares upon the Lord, for He careth for us. And I'm glad that we can do that. He's concerned about His people, and He hears us when we pray. We have this confidence that He hears us when we pray. The psalmist said that He is a very present help in time of trouble. And the Lord is. He's there with us during our times of difficulty. And we can go to the throne of grace and find grace and mercy in our time of need. We have access to the throne of grace, where we can have help during our time of need. And so we want to pray for those folks that need a special lift and a special help from the Lord. And let's pray for this service and pray one for another, as the Bible teaches. Our compassion and concern and prayer one for another fulfills the law of Christ, the Bible says. When we have that kind of concern and burden and prayer for one another, we are fulfilling the laws of Christ. And so let's do that today. And let's pray for these that are in need. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. I want to read verse 18. One of the things that's stated in this particular verse and in the context of this particular passage is that the head of the church is head of the universe. A concept that we need to perhaps get back to. I was helping someone last night with an association question. They were writing an article to be delivered to the Asylum Association concerning church autonomy. And he was talking about churches being independent local bodies, and I believe that. And there was a little section in there that made reference to church fellowship or church interaction or church similarity. And I told him, I said, yes, I believe that churches are independent local body of baptized believers, but they all have the same head. There's to be a similarity in doctrine, in practice, in spirit. I mean, that they're to have the same head. Now, something with two different heads on it is a monster. Or something without a head is dead. I believe the Lord is the Lord and head of the Sabbath. He said that He was head of the Sabbath, and churches, I guess, that cancel their services for football, then suddenly football's the Lord of Sabbath rather than the Lord is the Lord of Sabbath. Jesus Christ is head of the church. Now, we've got a little bit of a problem going on, okay? When I think about what He says here, He says, and He is the head of the body, the church. Verse 18, Colossians chapter 1. Now, this is said several times in the Bible. It's said in Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. But it also says that the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. And earlier in the book of Ephesians, it talks about Jesus being the head of the body, which is the church. He's head of the body. Sometimes, though, I get to thinking, okay, really? When we do silly things, when people act silly in the church, when we do stupid things as a church body, I stand back and say, really? Christ is head of this organization? And they're doing stuff like this? They're acting this way? Is He really Jesus? The Lord of the universe is head of the church, and the church is behaving in this manner? How can that be? And I was thinking, you know, when I was going to, this morning I was praying about this, and I don't know how this is going to turn out, so pray for me, okay? But how do we put the head back on the church? How do we put the head back on the body? One of the problems we've got today is a lack of camaraderie, a lack of enthusiasm within the kingdom of Christ. I do believe if Jesus is head of the church, if he's head of this church and other independent local bodies, there's going to be a similarity in doctrine and practice. Because there's only one head. Jesus is the brains of the operation. He is the one that dictates the ordinances and dictates to us how they're to be practiced and how they're to be carried out. He is the one in control of the doctrines and the practices of the church. I mean, His Spirit is with us and in us. He is the head of the church. And I was questioning, now how are we going to, you know, how are we going to put the head back on the body? I do believe that Jesus Christ is head of the church. And I think when you get to examining some of the things that the Apostle Paul says in the context of that declaration that Jesus is head of the body of the church, when you start examining what he says, look, he who is head of the church is in control of the universe. He is superior. He has preeminence. Let me just read the rest of this verse. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. Listen, he is superior and he is head over not only those that are alive, but those that are dead. And in all things that he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Listen, the fullness of love, the fullness of mercy, the fullness of forgiveness, the fullness of eternal life, the fullness of divine heaven, all the fullness is dwelling in Jesus. All fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. When we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, we're worshiping God. He is divine. He is deity. He is, as he said, before Abraham was, I am. He is the great I am. John said in John chapter 1 and verse 1 that the Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He is divine creator. He is the divine ruler of this universe. We'll just back up a few verses. Notice he says in verse 17, he says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Let's back up and see what's said earlier. We've got a colon there at the end of the 16th verse. In other words, that's just a doorway opening to another part of the subject. It's another part of what he said earlier. He says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Let's back up a little further, because verse 15 at the end of it, there's another colon. That means it's just that was just another door that was open to the previous thought. So we got to keep going back. We got to maintain the context. He says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Let's back up, because at the end of verse 14, there's another colon. That was just another doorway into the previous thought. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. All right, verse 13, at the end of it, there's another colon. That's just another doorway into the previous thought. When He says this, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Wait a minute. To verse 11, the previous verse, at the end of it, there's another colon. That's just a doorway into the previous thought, where He says, give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All right, verse 11, we find a semicolon, little different, just says, means that this is a part of, I was said at the end of these verses, it's just part of what was said previously. He says this, he says, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power, in all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. There's another semicolon at the end of verse 10. He says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increase in the knowledge of God. A semicolon at the end of verse 9. All right, we've got a period at the end of verse 8. So we're going to start this sentence and we're going to read it from the very beginning. For the subject of it is that we might be brought into the knowledge of who Jesus is. The one who is head of the church. And the thought came to me this morning, I guess if we ever get the head back on the church, we're going to preach it back on. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will. He says, with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might be walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all the might according to the glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the same saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things which are created. All things were created by Him and for Him. I want you to notice at the beginning of verse 7. I want you to notice where He says all things. By Him were all things created. At the middle of verse, at the end of verse, He says principalities and power. All things. That's a reoccurring phrase that's used throughout the remaining part of our reading lesson. All things. He's in control of all things. He created all things. He dominates over all things. He rules and reigns sovereignty over all things. He created them. They were created by Him and for His good pleasure. Whether they be things in the heavens, things in the earth, things you can see, or things you cannot see, all things were created by Him. The angelic host of heaven was created by Him. He is our Creator. Jesus Christ, He is our Creator. And He reigns and rules and dominates and has the right over creation because He created it. Amen. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. In other words, not only does He create all things, but He holds all things into existence. Amen. In other words, they're held together by Jesus. You breathe today because Jesus gives you breath. You see today because Jesus gives you sight. You feel today because Jesus gives you feeling. You're here today because Jesus allowed you to be here. In Him, we live and move and have our existence. We cannot exist apart from Jesus Christ. He not only created you, He allows you to have life. In Him is life, and that life is the light of men. All things were made by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the eternal God. He is the great I Am. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is Jehovah Raphael. He is the God that heals, the God that provides, the God that is our banner, and we raise Him high. He is God Jehovah, and we acknowledge Him as such. He is the Almighty. Amen. Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was seen of angels. God was justified in the Spirit. God was preached among the Gentiles. God was caught up to glory. Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus being God, who not only creates all things, but allows all things to exist, He is head of the church. You know, there's a lot of people say, why do you want to go to church? Why do you want to give your life to church and give your tithe to church and give your time to church? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is head of the church. Are you with me yet? The God that created all things is head of the church. Yeah, there's a lot of different analogies. There's a lot of different allegories. There's a lot of different expressions of what the church is. And we know them. But one of the greatest things given to us is that the church is the body of Christ. And He is the head. Amen. He is the beginning. The firstborn from the dead. Listen, Jesus Christ was born in that barn in Bethlehem, but He existed before He was born. Yes, He's eternal. He came down off of His glorious throne in heaven. He became a man. The Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was born, and He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. Yeah. And the angel Gabriel said, "And His name shall be great." And it is great. His birth was great. He was born of a virgin. The Virgin Mary, who had never known a man. Yes, He was born of a virgin. The Holy Ghost overshadowed the Virgin Mary. I believe in the virgin birth. I contend the church, who has the head of Jesus Christ, still believes that Jesus was virgin born. He was born a virgin. But He lived before He was born. Yes. And anyway, He was born in the barn in Bethlehem. And His birth was great. He grew up in Nazareth. He walked and ministered throughout Galilee. He called the apostles to come follow Him. He did miracle after miracle. He caused those that were blind to see, those that were deaf to hear, those that were lame to walk, those that had leprosy were made clean, some that died, He brought back to life. He proved Himself over and over again to be the Almighty God who had power over heaven and earth. Somebody says, "You really believe He did all that stuff?" I sure do, because He hung the moon. He hung the stars in place. Yes, that sun out there would not exist unless He flung it up there. The stars in the heavens would not exist without the Lord Jesus Christ sustaining their orbit. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ, He has all power in heaven and earth. Amen. He healed the sick. He walked among men. And His life was great. Amen. He went before Pilate. He prayed in Gethsemane. He went before the Sanhedrin. He went to Golgotha's hill and He bore His cross. He died there on the cross of Calvary. But on the third day, He arose victoriously over the grave. And He's alive. Amen. He's alive. Are you with me? He's alive from the dead. He said, "I am He that was dead, but I'm alive. And I'm going to live forevermore." Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, He brought Himself out of the grave to where He was resurrected in the fullness of life. And there's a glory about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church that I believe that every church that has Jesus as the head preaches a Christ that died on the cross, was buried, and resurrected on the third day. Sure do. Resurrected on the third day. And He is the firstborn. That's what it says here in this verse. From the dead. Now there are other people that came back to life, but they had to die again. He said, "I'm alive to die no more." Yeah. He went among His disciples, that church that He had organized in His personal ministry. I believe the church is a divine institution. A divine institution. That it was organized by the Lord of glory. It has divine ordinances. It has divine theology. It has divine doctrines. It has divine practice because it was organized by the divine. Amen. This makes sense, doesn't it? Anyway, He
Well, Luke put it this way. He showed himself openly before the church with many infallible proofs that he was alive. He'd say, touch me and see. I'm alive. I live. He took that little church and he commissioned her and sent her into the world to preach his gospel, to preach his word, to uphold his doctrines, to represent him in the world. And I believe the church today is a visible manifestation of his kingdom, that if you ever come into the kingdom of Christ, it's through the gospel that the church preaches. Amen. Oh, I'll say that again. If you ever get saved, you're going to get saved by the gospel that the church was commissioned to preach. He told that church, he said, I'm going to go away, but you tarry in Jerusalem and you're going to be endured with power from on high. That Holy Ghost that came upon the church didn't save them, Brother Doug, but it anointed them for the work that they needed to do, and we're still anointed today as far as I'm concerned. He took them out to Bethany and the Bible says, he blessed them. He blessed his church. And then a cloud took him off to glory. And they stood there gazing. And angels came and said, Why stand ye gazing? The same Jesus that you see leaving is going to come again in like manner. Now go do what Jesus commissioned and told you to do. They went to Jerusalem. They tarried there. They waited for the mighty rushing wind, and it came. Amen. It came. I guess what I'm trying to tell you today is that Jesus Christ, he's head of the church, but he's also the creator and the preserver of this world. He dominates and rules in the dark places. He went down into Hades and he came out victorious, and he has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Amen. That means he has the authority over them. Amen. He rules in every region that exists. He's Lord. He is our animation as a church. He's our realization. We know him to be the Savior, Emmanuel. We know him as our God. We're like Thomas. We come in before him and we say, my Lord and my God. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is the Holy One in righteousness and purity. He is the only one that can save you. Listen, you need Jesus to be saved. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You must be saved through the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, through the righteousness of Jesus, through the holiness of Jesus. You have to be saved through the cross that Jesus bore at Mount Calvary. You've got to be saved through the shedding of His blood and through His righteousness. If you're not saved through Him, you're lost. Amen. There's salvation and none other. It's only in Jesus. Oh, don't you love Him today? I mean, He is our joy. He is our happiness. He is our hope. He is our expectation. Listen, if He's going to be the head of the church, He has to be head over and Lord over you as an individual. He needs to be Lord in our homes. He needs to be Lord of our lives. In order for Christ to be head of the church. Amen? Yes, we're members in particular, but we're members of His body. And He needs to be in control of our lives in order that He might be head over us as a body of baptized believers. He is our leader, our strength. I mean, He is our faith. If we have faith, it's faith in Jesus, right? If we have joy, it's joy in Jesus. If we have happiness, it's happiness in Jesus. If we live, we live in Jesus. Yeah, if we die, we die in the Lord. Yeah, if we're raised, we're raised in the Lord. When we go to glory, we're going to glory in the Lord. Amen? It's in the Lord. He has to be the principal thing. He has to be the predominant thing. He has to be the superior thing. He has to be the preeminence of our lives. And He deserves that preeminence. I'm glad I know Him. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Well, time gets away from me real quick up here. He is... let's notice a few other things in this verse first. All right. when it talks about it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace, aren't you thankful for the peace of Christ? He is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. If you have peace, it has to come through Jesus. If you have power, it has to come through Jesus. If you have hope and expectations of the future, it needs to be a future and hope that's in Jesus. He's the head. He deserves the preeminence. If we have strength, it's strength that comes from the Lord. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Anyway, the fullness dwells in Him. And He hath made peace through the blood of the cross. Now this is a reconciliation that by Him, to reconcile all things. There's that phrase again. If you go down through here in this passage and you put a parenthesis around all things. All things are being brought under His feet. All things are going to be reconciled, whether or not they're in relationship to the Lord. There are some that are vessels of honor, some are vessels of dishonor, but when in the end, when the Lord comes back, there's going to be a reckoning according to His reconciliation. All things are going to be reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. It's going to be whether or not things are in relationship to His name and His work. You're going to see the church arise one day. Amen. Yeah. But the fullness of wisdom and love, the fullness of grace, it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, He is the key to our knowledge. He is the wellspring of our wisdom. Notice in that passage in the book of Corinthians that I mentioned, where He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, where it makes it clear that our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption, that it all comes through Jesus. It's all in Him. People, there's a day today that we live in that we need wisdom. We live in those days where we need wisdom from God. We need divine wisdom on what to do in the future. We need Christ to be the head. Now let me share something quickly with you. When Christ is the head, He monitors and He governs the church as to what it does. Amen. Not you. Christ is alive. He rules. He reigns the universe. If He's able to keep this universe together, He's able to control things that go on in the church. I don't believe in pastor rule. I don't rule over this church. I don't lord over God's heritage. Jesus needs to be the head of the church. And there's people that try to bully the church into doing things. But let me tell you something. Jesus knows how we can reach this world. He knows how we can preserve our young people. He knows how we can be an influence with His truth. And we need to listen to Him. Amen. Let God be true and everybody else a liar. It pleases the Father that the fullness of all things should dwell in Him. Listen, the doorway to deliverance is Jesus. The pathway of peace is Him. The roadway to righteousness is Christ. The highway of holiness, the gateway to glory, it's all in Jesus. And in Jesus alone. He provides us promises that are sure, a life of eternal bliss. That's awaiting us, isn't it? Do you know you're going to heaven? Amen. Yeah. How are you going to get there? Because of Him, right? Because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has reconciled us to God. And one of these days, there's going to be a reckoning of the world to Him. Listen, He is the Anointed One. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is Lord. He is Lord over heaven and earth. He rules and He reigns. When He stood out there and told the church that all power is given unto Me in heaven and earth, He had that power. In the book of Revelation, where the Father turns over the world of the seals into the Son, the book, it tells us there that all the world's history unfolds in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. He rules. He reigns. He's the prophet of prophets. He's the king of kings. He is the governor of governors. He is the Lord of lords. And I'm glad he's there for me. He is my friend and he is my brother. He is the kinsman redeemer. I'm telling you, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. Oh, as the psalmist said in Psalms 46, behold, what great things the Lord hath wrought in the earth. He said, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh the wars to cease. He breaketh the bow asunder. He breaketh the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. He says, be still and know I am God. The Lord God Jehovah is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he needs to be reverenced and respected as such. Be still and know I'm God. All right. We're in a warfare, aren't we? We're in a great warfare. But our captain has never lost a battle. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is the one who is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the root and the branch, the father and the son of David. He is light to this world. In a world where we have great darkness, there's only one who can translate you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, and that's Jesus. It's His power and His sacrifice, His resurrection that saves us. That saves us. That saves us. That delivers us. Listen, if you're trying to get saved on works or because of your church membership and because of something you did, you don't have the salvation of the Bible. The salvation of the Bible comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and His death at Calvary's Hill. He is the fullness of the Father, full of grace and truth. How are we going to put the head back on the church? Well, I don't know. Don't know. But I do know this. Jesus is the door. He said, I am the door. I am the door. And if any man enter in, he will find pasture. He said that he was the light of the world. I believe that he is the light of the world. I believe he is the good shepherd. He's my shepherd. Is he your shepherd today? He is the shepherd of the sheep. He is not only the chief shepherd and the great shepherd, but he's the good shepherd that died for us. You know, when I look back through the Bible and it tells us about creation and it says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, Jesus was there. When Noah found grace in the eyes of God and preserved his family with a big boat, Jesus gave him grace. When Abraham offered up Isaac on Mount Moriah and there was a ram caught in the thicket, Jesus provided that lamb. Yeah. When the people of Israel were delivered from Egyptian bondage, Jesus delivered them from Egyptian bondage. When they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground, and they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground, they didn't walk across a little mud puddle. No, that was a raging river. And water like it was like a wall that stood up on both sides. And they went across on dry ground. You know, those people that try to say that, you know, they just went across a mud puddle. Well, you know, they're trying to take all the miracles out of the Bible. Well, there's still a miracle there because then God just drowned the Egyptian army in a mud puddle. Right? There's always, you know, just stay with the truth. Truth will set you free. But Jesus delivered the people of Israel. He's still delivering His church today. He's with His people. And He'll deliver us in our time of need. When Solomon needed wisdom, Jesus gave him wisdom. When Isaiah needed to give great prophecies, matchless prophecies for the future of Israel, he received matchless prophecies. When Jeremiah needed fire in his bones, Jesus gave him fire in his bones. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego needed somebody with them in the fiery furnace, Jesus was there with them in that fiery furnace. When Daniel was in the lion's den and needed protection and help and somebody to shut that lion's mouth, Jesus sent an angel to shut that lion's mouth. He rules. He reigns. Book of Zechariah, I think it is. When the prophecy was given that one of these days the Lord's going to whistle or hiss, as it is in King James, and He's going to deliver His people. I tell you, there's coming a day when that trumpet's going to sound and He's going to deliver His people. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Right? And we which are alive remain at the coming of the Lord, we're going to be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort ye one another with this. Yes. Yes. I guess the best way for us to put the head back on the church is to give Him the preeminence in all things. He is the great light of the world. He is the great love of God. He is the great goodness of God, the great kindness of God, the great gentleness of God, the great holiness of God, the great righteousness of God, the great majesty of God. Jesus is the great power of God, the great purity of God. He is the great Savior. How shall ye escape? The Hebrew writer asked, if you should neglect so great of salvation. I'm glad He's here with us. Listen, when Jesus is head of the church, when we fall down, He'll pick us up. Yeah. When we stumble, He will steady us. Yeah. When we face doubts and fears, He will make the way brighter. When we need healing, He will be our healer. When we need hope, He is our hope. When we need power, He is our power. Oh, power be to the name of Jesus. Hail be to the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. By the name of Jesus, demons flee. James and John, they would walk by a lame man and they'd say, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Take up thy bed and walk. And I'll tell you, that man got up and walked. There's power in the name of Jesus. Let's get back to that power that's in His name. And He will help us. He will heal us. When we're broken, He'll mend us. You know, the book of Revelation, Jesus declared Himself as the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. There's coming a day when He's going to destroy this world. He's going to destroy this world. When He says enough is enough, He's coming on that white horse like we read in the 19th chapter of Revelation. And on His vesture is written, faithful and true. He's faithful and true. And in righteousness He does judge and make war. And He comes on a great stallion with the army of the host of heaven with Him. They also with white robes, fine linen, it says, pure and white. They're riding with Him on that white horse and they're coming. They're coming. Jesus is coming back. Amen. He's coming back. And He's going to take us home. Yeah. Listen, if you're not ready, you need to get ready. Because there's a day of judgment coming. He's going to ascend the great white throne. And you're going to stand before the judgment bar of God. And the Bible says the books will be opened. And another book is opened, which is the book of life. Amen. And He's going to determine whether or not you go to heaven or whether or not you go to hell based upon whether or not your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. I can rejoice today. I know my name is written there. Amen. If you can't, you better get on the Lord's side. Challenge is before you. Get a song, Aaron. I challenge you today to get on the Lord's side. Come know Him as Savior and Redeemer, as Sanctifier and Wisdom. If we have any wisdom, it's in the Lord. If we have any sanctification, it's in the Lord. If we have any righteousness, in the Lord. Our redemption is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know when we started worshiping the institution, but worshiping the institution is wrong. Amen. We're to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body. And He is its Savior. Amen. He feeds us when we're hungry. He helps us when we're hurting. We need Him. He will give us light and direction and guidance. Let's stand and sing a verse of some song. I appreciate you listening to me today. I still contend that Christ is head of the church. And He gave Himself for it. I know this is a weak message today, but I just pray that God will use it in some way. Listen, if you're part of an institution where man is the head, if you're part of an institution where people take precedent over the precepts of God's holy word, you're in the wrong church, mister. Wrong church. Because in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the head. If your church is governed by men and not by the word of God, you're in the wrong church. Is He Lord? He sure is. He is. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, things of earth, things on the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. He's Lord. He was resurrected that He might be Lord of the dead and the living. Lord. He rules and reigns over the universe. Everything in this world unfolds in relationship to Him. He's going to redeem those things. He's going to bring about Eden, I think. You can disagree with me if you want. But He's going to reestablish the Garden of Eden. He's going to restore the order that was lost because of sin.
Amen.
Jesus is going to do that. Sure is. He's Lord. He's Lord. And that Lord that controls the raising up and the pulling down of all the kingdoms of the world, He's head of the church. It's powerful. Think about it. Head of the church rules and reigns over not only this world, but over the world to come. God bless you. Appreciate you listening to me. This is a feeble effort. I pray that God will bless it in some way. These last minute directions sometimes get difficult. But I felt like addressing this issue this morning. And I just pray that God will bless it. Listen, Victory, keep Jesus as head of this church. Okay? There's a lot of people trying to bump off the head. It happens in every church. Okay, the devil wants to bump Jesus off as being head, but we've got to let Him be in charge. Now that's hard for people to do because they can't see Him. But listen, we can feel Him. We know when He's with us, don't we? Yes, we do. We know His leadership and His direction. Let Him always have His way at Victory.